Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we are talking about this forgiveness that we have in Christ that was promised to us in this new covenant that has been fulfilled for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 16, says this: "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." So this new covenant is internal. It's something God is doing on the inside of us by His Holy Spirit. It's the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we have the laws of faith, hope, and love now written on our minds and placed in our hearts. And then he adds this, and this is this fourth promise of the new covenant: "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And then he puts just this powerful exclamation point on that promise: "And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." So these sins have been forgiven. Your sins, my sins, they've all been forgiven in this new covenant. That is just such wonderful, wonderful news. But do we really believe it? I think that's one of the most important questions that we can ask in relationship to this verse. Do we really believe this? Because a lot of times the way we act, what we say to one another, all the different religious formulas we come up with, that we're supposed to do after each and every sin, it tells us that we're not sure that we believe this, that we believe something else. But if we truly believe this, we're going to recognize that forgiveness is done, that all of our sins have been sent away. And that's what forgiveness means, to send away. Mm-hmm. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed of all unrighteousness. He sends away every single sin to set us free. It's kind of interesting. One of the words that describes this forgiveness is also translated as divorced. And in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, "Don't divorce or put away your wife. Send her away." And in essence, that's what Jesus has done with our sins. He's divorced us from our sins by sending them away. And that means we don't have to deal with them anymore. Why? Because Jesus already has. Now, does that mean we just go out and sin and do anything we want to? No. Why? Because we have the laws in our hearts and written on our minds. We have something on the inside that's leading us in a completely different direction, that is conforming us to the image of Christ, transforming us through the renewing of our minds. So no, that doesn't just make sin a license. Not at all. We have to realize that. And when we do, we can truly rejoice in the love of God that's been shown to us, demonstrated us fully in the person of Christ Jesus. This is good news, and we want to talk about it on today's program. 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. If you're struggling with guilt, you're wondering if you're outside the reach of God's forgiveness, call today. We want to talk about it. There's some great news to share with you out of the Word of God. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Sonny listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sonny.
Yes. Good evening, Pastor. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for holding on.
I love your ministry. It's back to basic. I think it's time for that now.
Well, I agree, and I appreciate your kind words.
I think it's time for that now. It's been in my heart for 22 years now. 26 years in Christ, but there's one scripture that I've been wrestling with for about a year and a half now. And I asked and asked and asked, but I never could get the straight of the scripture. I wonder if you could help me with this. Luke 22:36.
Okay.
It says, I don't have my Bible, so I have to read it from out of my heart. It says, if you don't have a sword to sell your garment and buy one, could you please help me with that? What is he speaking about? If you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one.
Well, here's a couple of observations about the passage itself. You know, the words that Jesus actually used in this conversation he was having with his disciples. You recall that he had sent them out before, and in that first mission, he told them not to take any money and just the clothes on his back and those sort of things. And he brings that back up in this particular passage, and he says that in verse 35, when I sent you out without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing, they answered. God had met every one of their needs on those missionary journeys. But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. I think Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was soon to come. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection shook up the status quo. It started, drawing a line there in Israel, and you were either on one side or the other. And if you stayed on the side of Judaism, you were pretty ticked off at those Jewish brothers who followed Jesus. And as you know, there was great persecution. The disciples, every single one of them, was martyred except for Paul, and he was exiled to the, John, yeah. Sorry about that, except for John, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. So they experienced great persecution. So I see this as a passage where Jesus is preparing the disciples for what's up ahead. Now, he's not advocating violence. He is just advocating, protection and taking care of yourself in this regard. And he uses a passage out of Isaiah 53 to say that, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And so if you look back at Isaiah 53, you see that, Jesus was there numbered among the transgressors. And if they're going to treat him in that way, treat him as a common criminal, you can guess how they're going to treat his followers.
Now, I got one little quick question for you, Pastor, if you don't mind. Now, I know that's spiritual. Now, what about in the natural, when you look down the road and you may see some things coming physically as far as into your house, would you stand there or would you allow it to just walk in and take control of your house or your family or whatever? I was looking at that, and I was, looking at the both sides, but I know it's the spiritual side of it that we should be looking at.
Well, Sonny, here's what I will say on that. I will say that we need to be led by God's Spirit.
Amen.
And let that be enough of an answer in those hypothetical situations that our minds paint so vividly. And we ask the question, what would we do? We're not going to know until we get there. And we're not going to necessarily do the same thing that somebody else might do. The Spirit of God may lead somebody to do one thing, and the Spirit of God may lead somebody to do a different thing. But the Spirit of God will have his purposes in each, and it's all to bring glory to God the Father and to carry out his desires in that.
I understand. Yeah. Well, I pretty well got a little better clearance on it now, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're more than welcome, Sonny. And thank you so much for your great call today and your encouraging words. We love hearing from folks like you, and that means a whole bunch to us. So, hey, let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this new resource that we have, A New Covenant Journey, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. And keep it up, Pastor. I enjoy the program.
Well, thank you so much. And you keep calling. You call anytime, okay?
Amen.
Hang on, Sonny. It's a great question and a wonderful call. We really appreciate calls like that. Well, let's go to Grand Rapids and talk with our friend Paul listening to us on WFUR. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I appreciate your program, too.
Well, we appreciate you. We certainly love all the questions that you bring to the broadcast.
Well, today I want to talk about the gospel reveals God's wrath. And I'd like to say that God's wrath is almost entirely missing from the modern present gospel teaching. Modern evangelism begins with God loves you and wants to make you happy. There's so much positive thinking. I'm thinking of one preacher that said, oh, don't talk about sin or don't talk about hell, because how are you going to get to an unbeliever unless you tell them that you're a good person, and just don't talk about hell, because that'll turn them off. And another thing I want to say is there are twin emphasis on wrath and mercy, and they're side by side, and the texts are, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not believe and obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And that's John 3:36.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and that's the whole thing, Paul, is I think we need to have a really good definition of God's wrath. I think when we think of that word, we think of apocalyptic visions and, you know, just these scary things.
That's right.
But wrath, as far as God is concerned, equates to death. That is the wrath of God. It's eternal separation from God. We come into this world spiritually dead. We're already separated from God. And that's
right.
Exactly the message that John was giving in John 3:36. How do we escape that? Well, there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He saves us from the wrath to come. And I love, you know, Paul has that theme running throughout the book of Romans. You know, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So that's being revealed from heaven. And then he says in Romans 5, verse 9, after he goes through the whole argument about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but have been justified freely by his grace. In Romans 3, this is, you know, righteousness is credited to us because of faith, not by any works that we have done. He goes through this idea that we're now justified through faith. We have peace with God. And he says this in verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Jesus Christ is the one that saves us from sin and death. By the law of the Spirit and of life in Christ Jesus, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. That's the wrath of God to come. And that's why we need to focus a lot of our time and attention on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it's his resurrected life that takes us from death to life. And that's where we're saved from the wrath of God to come.
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't agree with you more.
Well, Paul,
thank you so much.
Great question today. Love hearing from you, my friend. Well, I want to remind our listeners of our special resource, a brand new resource that we have. It's called A New Covenant Journey. And Richard, you had your hand in this. You helped put this together. And tell our listeners why this is such a wonderful resource for them, how it's going to help them in their journey with Christ.
Well, what we've done in this Bible study guide is to take the New Covenant as an organizing principle. Everything that you think about in salvation is couched somewhere within the New Covenant. So who is Jesus? What is the Bible? What did it mean for Jesus to die? What did it mean for Jesus to be raised again? What is this argument about law and grace? Who are we? I mean, there's a key question. Who am I? Am I just the sum total of my failures, or is there something else? How do you live this Christian life? I mean, we talk about faith, hope, and love all the time. How in the world do we live that? And we put the whole thing, wrap all those topics with the main topic of the New Covenant. And in it's all Bible-based. There's not a lot of opinion in there. It's Bible verses and questions about those passages, not just individual verses, but those passages. And it will lead you step by step into the amazing reality of what Jesus has done for us and what he offers us. And it's there sitting on the table. All you have to do is open the gift and accept it.
Absolutely. And it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And this is a win-win situation. You contribute to Basic Gospel, maybe a gift of $10, maybe a gift of $50, maybe a gift of $100. There may be some of you that can contribute even more. But in return, we want to say thanks and send you a copy of this. Now, your gifts to the ministry help connect more people to the love of Jesus Christ, connect more people to the forgiveness that they have in Jesus Christ. So in giving to Basic Gospel, you're actually supporting the power of the gospel to change lives. But in return, you're getting a resource that is going to aid you in your journey with Christ. Yes. And it really is a journey. It's not a magic wand that Jesus waves and everything is A-okay. I mean, there's a moment in time when we're saved. We go from death to life. But that is the beginning of this wonderful journey of knowing the love of Christ, of growing in the love of Christ, of experiencing the love of Christ, and being able to pass on the love of Christ. So,
yes.
So contribute today. We need your help. People all over the world are looking for answers. They're turning to radio, to internet, to find those answers. And you help us be there to give the most important answer, the answer that they're really looking for, and his name is Jesus Christ. So join the Basic Gospel team by giving today. You can go online to basicgospel.net. Click the support link and all the information is right there. Or you can make a gift by calling 1-800-727-2828. Well, let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana, and talk to our good friend Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. And once again, Indianapolis is listening loud and clear. We love you.
Excellent.
Hey, my question, I've had this question for a long time, but since I have some free time to talk to you today, my question is, Jesus as he being referred to as God, when I was under the assumption that Jesus is the Son of God, and is there any scripture on basing, or you can point me to where Jesus says he is God, or that someone says he is God?
Well, there's no exact scripture where Jesus said he is God in our language, how we would communicate that. But for example, in John chapter 10, he said, I and the Father are one. So that was as clear a declaration of his deity as he made. He and the Father were one. Also in John chapter 8, he's having a discussion with the Pharisees. And he's telling them, you're of your father the devil. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. Well, that was exactly the same name that God used of himself back in Exodus chapter 3 when he was raising up Moses to lead the people. And Moses was asking, well, they're not going to believe me. I'm just a guy. Who should I tell them sent me? Whom should I tell them sent me? And God said, tell them that I am sent you. So Jesus, in that declaration in John chapter 8, was basically saying to the people that were listening to the Pharisees that he and the Father were one, that he was God in human flesh. And then there's an interesting story in Mark chapter 2 when the friends kind of lower their buddy down through the roof, the paralytic, and Jesus said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And all the Pharisees questioned and said, "Well, who is this? Only God has the authority to forgive sin." So in that very act, he was making a declaration that he was indeed God. And then the one that I turn to probably most often is simply John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
Ah, very good. I like the one where I am the Father and are one. So I really like that. You've clarified it up, and I thank you for your time, guys.
You're welcome, Tim. Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. You hold on the line. Let me go ahead and send you a copy of this New Covenant Journey.
We'd love to.
Just appreciate you as a friend and as a caller and somebody that encourages us. So you hang on, Tim. Well, let's go to Lynn in Boise, Idaho. I'm hitting the wrong button.
Yep.
Let's go to Lynn in Boise, Idaho.
Yes, you're getting a lot of appreciation today, and I say the same thing. I love to hear your program. But I'd like you, if you could make some comments on 1 Corinthians 2:16, where it says, "We have the mind of Christ." How do you connect that with the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to hang up and listen because I can't hear real good on the phone.
Okay. Well, we sure appreciate your call, Lynn, and love hearing from some of our listeners out there in Boise, Idaho. So thanks for hopping on today.
Right.
Well, Lynn asked a great question about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this particular passage is all about the Holy Spirit in us.
Yes.
How are we going to know what God thinks? How are we going to know about all of those wonderful blessings that have been provided for us in Christ Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit revealing those to us? And that's what this passage is all about. He even says that. If you have the passage, why don't you read verses 9 and 10 for us there,
yeah.
Richard?
But just as it is written, "Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God."
Yeah, and then he goes on to say in verse 12, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." And then the conclusion is that we have the mind of Christ. Now, why this was important is because the Corinthians weren't using the mind of Christ in dealing with one another. There were divisions. There were all kinds of problems and issues and things. There was spiritual pride. There was all kinds of stuff happening. And they had failed to listen to God's Spirit in their dealings one with another. And that's why this passage is so important, that as we deal one with another, we should do so with the mind of Christ. It's not what does Richard want and then what does Bob want, let's duke it out. It's what does the Spirit of God, what is the Spirit of God leading for both of us? And that's going to be of benefit, of the greatest benefit to each and every one of us. It's going to strengthen our relationship and strengthen the overall ministry of the body. So that's given to us by the Spirit of God. If you're a believer in Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you. You have the mind of Christ. And I guess the encouragement is to use it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for tuning in, joining us on today's broadcast. We so appreciate the fact that you allow us to be a part of your lives on a daily basis, and thank you for being a part of ours. We do have this wonderful new resource, A New Covenant Journey. It's yours for a gift of any amount this month. The Basic Gospel, a gift of $10, $50, $100 will mean a lot to this ministry. So give today and give generously at basicgospel.com. www.thebiblestudygod.net. Until tomorrow, this is Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you then.